Welcome back to this episode of the Beaver Dam. I am your host, Trent Mast, joined along with Patrick Spillman. Pat, how are you doing today?
Trent, I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's a Monday. It's one of the first weeks we've had a little bit of a break from soccer stuff. We had our spring season, and that just finished up on Saturday with our alumni game, which we won.
Whoop the butts of the alumni. It's always a good time. 6-3. Dub, and it was a fun time. I scored, Trent scored, I passed to Trent when he scored, so hey, we can't complain.
Yep. Today we have a lot to talk about. Friday's show did not happen. If you were waiting for that, we are sorry that didn't happen. James had something going on, he had to go home, and that's what he told me, so sorry about that. But we do have a lot to talk about because a lot has happened in the sports world of Bluffton. There was 6 baseball games this past week, 6 softball games.
1 track and field event, 1 golf tournament for the men's and women, and a special addition to the spring season, Special Olympics bowling, which we're going to save that for the end because for us, that's the one that we're definitely the most passionate about and definitely the coolest thing to talk about.
For sure. So we will kick off, take a couple breaks here and there because there's a lot to talk about. We're going to jump right in and talk about baseball. Bluffton University baseball team split a pair of 7-6 decisions with rival Defiance College in the opening HCAC series for both teams on Tuesday, April 2nd. Bluffton moved to 10-10 and 1-1 in the Heartland Conference, while Defiance stands 10-6-1 with the similar 1-1 mark in the HCAC.
An Elijah Tresler RBI single in the second, followed by a Parker Reynolds run-scoring base knocked in the third, were sandwiched around 3 Defiance tallies as the Yellow Jackets led 3-2 heading into the fourth inning.
Down 4-2 in the bottom of the fifth, Bluffton came to life with a Colin Gregory RBI single before Alex Lemansky picked him up with a sacrifice fly to center, notching the score at 4-4.
Defiance went up 7-4 with 2 runs in the eighth and a solo homer in the ninth, but the Beavers fought to the end. Gregory doubled home. Jeff Strayer and Zane Martin plated Gregory with his single to left, but the Beavers left the bases loaded as Defiance held on for the 7-6 Game 1 victory.
Oh man, I love Jacob Latofsky went 3-for-5 with 2 runs scored. Gregory finished 2-of-4 with 2 runs scored and 2 RBIs. Reynolds, Kale Sherborne, and Jackson Rogan all chipped in with 2 safeties.
Senior Dante DeAndre slipped to 3-3 after allowing 3 runs on 3 hits and 3 innings of relief. Sophomore Garrett O'Reilly went 6 innings, allowing 4 runs on 8 hits with 2 walks and 2 strikeouts.
On to game 2. Bluffton took a 3-1 lead in the bottom of the third inning. In game 2, when Lemansky doubled home Strayer before Gregory launched his 8th home run of the season, a 2-run shot down the left field line. A Lenny Winiarski solo shot to left an inning later made it 4-1, heading into the fifth.
The Yellow Jackets exploded for 5 runs on the top of the seventh, but the home team answered back with 3 scores in the home half. Lemansky's double plated Tressler and Strayer before Gregory singled him home for a 7-6 lead. Martin showed his versatility with 2 innings of perfect relief as Bluffton secured a split with the 7-6 victory. He notched his 2nd save of the season in the process, while sophomore Mike Amon earned his 1st victory.
Lemansky, Gregory, Tressler, and Winiarski all smacked 2 hits in the victory. Lemansky and Gregory drove in 3 runs apiece, while Strayer and Lemansky both scored twice.
So obviously splitting their first doubleheader of the week against the Defiance Yellow Jackets. Obviously would have liked to get 2 wins, but in this tough conference, being able to split is definitely something that the Beavers want, as coming out with 0 wins is not what they would want at all.
Yeah, especially since a lot of their HCAC games are doubleheaders. just going in, and they kept, I mean, it was a solid flip. Defiance won 7-6, and then Bluffton won 7-6 in that game too. Those games were both close, and I know I played high school baseball. Whenever you are in a doubleheader and that first game just gets way out of hand, neither you win by a large margin or you lose by a large margin. One team gets hyped up and the other team maybe gets down in the dumps a little, and it's a lot harder to come back in that game too when the scores are so flip-flop.
Well, the Beavers, that game was on Tuesday, and the Beavers were back in action on Wednesday as they split a pair in a Heartland Conference matchup with Earlham. The Quakers took game one 8-3 before the Beavers rebounded with a 9-7 win in game two. Bluffton moved to 11-11 overall and 2-2 in the Heartland Conference, while Earlham stands at 9-12 and 1-3 in the Heartland Conference.
A Colin Gregory RBI single in the third, followed by a Parker Reynolds two-run base hit, gave the Beavers a commanding 3-0 lead heading into the top half of the fourth. Unfortunately, that turned out to be Bluffton's only runs in the game. Earlham took a 5-3 lead in the ninth and added three more, making the final 8-3 in favor of the Quakers.
Reynolds went 2-4 with two runs scored. Alex Lemansky and Jackson Rogan both were 2-4 as well in game one.
Freshman Carson Kernett fell to 1-2 after allowing three runs on four hits in three innings of relief. Junior Tommy Seamer went 5.1 innings, allowing three runs and six hits while also fanning four.
The Beavers found themselves in a 4-0 hole in game two, but in the bottom of the fourth inning, Bluffton found its groove. Reynolds would get things going with a run-scoring double. Freshman Zane Martin singled home Reynolds, making the score 4-2, and Adam Duncan double plated two more while tying things up 4-4 heading into the fifth.
After holding the Quakers scoreless in the top half of the fifth, Bluffton added two more in the bottom half thanks to a Gregory two-run bomb to left field that would make the score 6-4 in favor of the good guys, so the Beavers. Earlham got those two runs back in the top half of the seventh on a sacrifice fly and a fielder's choice.
In the bottom half of the seventh, the Beavers again scored two runs. Martin drew a bases-loaded walk that pushed Jeff Strayer across the plate, making it 7-6. Gregory would then score on a wild pitch for an 8-6 advantage. Earlham cut the deficit in half in the top of the eighth, but the Beavers tacked on an insurance run in the bottom half with a Reynolds RBI double that would ultimately seal the deal 9-7 for the Beavers.
Gregory went 3-for-4 with two RBIs. Reynolds was 2-for-4 with two RBIs. Dante DeAndre notched the win despite giving up two runs on two hits in 1.2 innings of work. Junior Cam Clark set down nine Quakers and allowed four runs on seven hits in 5.1 innings of work. Freshman Zach Nobis closed it out for his first career save.
So obviously another split for the Beavers. You know, like they've said, the Beavers definitely do not want to come out of a doubleheader situation coming out with zero wins. So being able to at least get one of those wins, especially seems like the Beavers seem to be struggling a little bit in the first game and then seem to come out and be a lot more proactive, even though they were down 4-0 to start the game. It seems like they find that groove a little bit more here in the second inning or the second game. So hopefully the Beavers will be able to figure things out and be able to start pulling out two wins in these series. But definitely being able to split each series is going to give the Beavers a good chance of making the conference tournament again.
Yes, I agree 100% with that. I was about to say that after the first one, but I was going to save it to the third game. But on to the third game, Bluffton University baseball team called on its Game 2 Warriors again, and the Beavers delivered their third Heartland Conference split in 5 days at defending champion Franklin College on Saturday, April 6th. Bluffton moved to 12-12 overall and 3-3 in the Heartland Conference, while the Grizzlies are now 13-9 with the same 3-3 mark in the conference.
A two-out double by Lenny Winiarski in the top of the first plated Alex Lemanski and Colin Gregory for a 2-0 lead. Winiarski crossed the dish when the Grizzlies were unable to scoop up Jackson Rogan's shot to second base, making it 3-0 heading to the home half of the first.
Franklin answered back and then some in the bottom of one when the first six Grizzlies reached the plate and all came around to score as the home team took a 6-3 lead over the Beavers. The Grizzlies' edge moved to 11-3 before Dennis Salazzi picked up Duncan in the top of the fourth.
Trailing 16-4 going to the eighth, Bluffton tried to get back in striking range with three runs before the Grizzlies answered right back with three of their own en route to a 19-7 victory in game one. Freshman Pharaoh Smith notched his first RBI with a single in the inning. A walk to Bryce Fink pushed Adam Duncan home before Gregory's sacrifice fly ended Bluffton's scoring.
Winiarski drove in two and scored twice, while Duncan also crossed the dish two times. Brantley Kernett dropped his first decision after allowing 8 runs on 7 hits in just 2 innings of work.
The Grizzlies would not fare well against Brantley's brother in Game 2. Freshman Carson Kernett took the hill and did not exit until inning 8. Along the way, he fanned 7 Grizzlies and scattered 9 hits while allowing just 2 6-inning runs.
Winiarski's second dinger of the week put Bluffton up 1-0 in the 4th inning. A double down the left field line by Smith gave him his second RBI in as many games when Rogan trotted home. Following an errant pickoff throw that moved him to third, Smith made it 3-0 when Franklin balked him in.
With Bluffton holding a 3-2 lead going to the bottom of the eighth, senior Dante DeAndre took over on the mound. After 2 quick strikeouts, he issued a walk, but immediately took care of it himself when he picked Franklin's pinch runner off first base. With 3 up and 3 down for the home team in the ninth, DeAndre picked up his 3rd save of the season, while young Kernett evened his record at 2-2. So yeah, the Beavers once again split, making it themselves 3-3 in the conference. I think, Trent, when we were looking at it, it was they're tied for fifth right now.
Well, technically they're tied for fourth, but they're in the fifth place spot, right behind Franklin, who has the same record in the HCAC. But because Franklin's overall record is 13-9, and the Beavers are
12-12,
they're technically in fifth in the ranking because their overall record. There's another team. I don't remember which team it is, but they are also 3-3, but they are 11-9 on the year, so they're behind the Beavers. So the Beavers are in there tight right now. Rose Holman, I believe, is at the top of the conference. They're 2-0, so they've only played one doubleheader, and they have won both of those games. So they're leading the conference right now. The Beavers were supposed to play yesterday at ONU, and that game was postponed. They said it was rained out.
Well, they said it was because of just playing. Both teams had so many makeup games within their conference that they didn't want to, you know, hurt their pitchers, especially with conference games.
I was talking to some baseball guys. They said coach told us that it was rained out because it was supposed to rain on Sunday, but they had played a lot of games this week. Both teams had played a lot.
Yeah, so the Beavers will be back in action on Tuesday at Olivet College. First pitch supposed to be at 4 p.m., and this will be only a one-game series. So then the Beavers will be home again on Saturday versus Mount St. Joseph. First pitch at 1. I'm telling you guys that now just in case James does not do the Beaver Dam on Friday. That way you guys know the schedule. Their next home game will be Saturday, April 13th, 1 o'clock, first pitch versus Mount St. Joe, in-state rivalry, other than also the Defiance Yellow Jackets. So come out, support your Beavers. I know they appreciate it. The Beavers are fun and exciting to watch, and Trent and I were able to catch a little bit of the Earlham game. It was fun to watch. We watched more of the second game because, you know, we have classes, so we couldn't make it out to the first. But they won the second game, so I think we might be their good luck charm, Trent.
Honestly, all right. We're going to take a short, quick break here, and then we'll be back talking about softball. You're listening to the Beaver Dam, a 96.1 The Wit.
You're listening to the Beaver Dam, a 96.1 The Wit.
Welcome back to the Beaver Dam. I'm Trent Mash, joined along with Patrick Spillman. We're going to jump right into softball. Bluffton University softball team split a doubleheader with Manchester on Wednesday, April 3rd, in the first conference matchup of the season for both squads. Bluffton took game one by the score of 14-9, and Manchester bounced back in game two for a 14-6 victory. Bluffton is now 5-15 on the season, 1-1 in the conference, while Manchester is sitting at 6-8, 1-1 in the conference. Both teams had the bats warmed up as they scored a combined 43 runs in two games.
Manchester got the lumber rolling in the top of the first as the Spartans went out to a 2-0 lead. To say the Beavers did some damage in the bottom of the third would be an understatement. The scoring plays were highlighted by a Sydney Bowen double that plated Kelsey Reeder. Caitlin Morstadt singled and scored Bowen. Casey Clark chipped in with the base hit, scoring Courtney Jasinski. Riley Langstaff stepped up to the plate and rocketed a double to left center, picking up both Megan Hill and Morstadt. Following a pitching change, Taylor Stanky drove in Langstaff and Clark. Bluffton piled up 8 runs on 5 hits, while Manchester also helped out the cause by committing 3 crucial errors in the inning.
And the visitors cut the deficit to 8-4 when they scored twice in the top of the fourth. Bluffton added a run in the home half as Mortstadt stepped to the plate and delivered a double that scored Jasinski, extending the lead to 9-4.
Manchester came right back, striking 4 runs in the top of the 5th inning to make the score 9-8. In the bottom of the 6th, Bluffton wasn't satisfied with the 1-run lead. The Beavers blasted away with 5 runs on 6 hits, highlighted by singles from Molly Bollinger, Bowen, Jasinski, and Hill. To cap off the great inning, Clark cracked a double, which scored 2 runs. Manchester scored a run in the top of the 7th, but it was too little, too late, making the final score 14-9 in favor of the Beavers.
Clark was a perfect 4-for-4 with 3 RBIs. Mordstadt went 3-for-4 with 3 RBIs and 2 runs. Bowen finished 3-for-4 and crossed the plate twice. Jasinski collected 2 hits and scored 3 times. Bollinger earned the start, and she tossed 4.1 innings, giving up 7 runs in her first win of the year. Sophomore Katie McCord worked the final 2 innings for her first save of the season.
Manchester started off game 2 in similar fashion to game 1 as they got into the scoring column with 1 run in the bottom of the first. The Beavers did all of their damage with 2 outs. Jasinski and Morstadt both singled, and Jasinski would score when Morstadt ball got through to the fence. Morstadt crossed the dish when Hill's shot to second was too hot to handle. The Beavers led 2-1 after 1 inning of action.
The Spartans separated themselves from the Beavers in the top of the second, scoring 5 runs on 6 hits. The Spartans would add 1 more run in the top of the third. In the bottom of the third, Bluffton got back to scoring runs the way they were in the first game. Bowen lined a double that scored Reeder, who was hit by a pitch to start the inning. Mordstadt picked up Bowen with a sacrifice fly to center field. Hill followed with a solo bomb over the center field fence, making the score 7-5 at the end of 3 innings.
After Manchester scored a run in the top of the frame, the Beavers responded with one of their own in the bottom of the fourth. Langstaff started off with a double to center field. Bollinger drove her in with the ground out, making the score 8-6 at the end of 4 rounds.
The rest of the game was dominated by the Spartans as they continued to extend their lead by scoring 2 runs in the 7th and 4 runs.
Two runs in the sixth
and 4 runs in the 7th en route to the 14-6 victory.
Jasinski took the mound for the Beavers to start game 2, giving up 6 runs in 1.1 innings. McCord tossed the next 4.2 innings, surrendering 13 hits and 7 runs. Bollinger pitched the final inning, giving up 1 run. Manchester had 23 hits in game 2, but the Spartans committed 3 errors to Bluffton's 2. Unfortunately, another split. It seems like both our Beavers baseball and softball team enjoy splitting. Obviously, the Beavers would have liked to got 2 wins in the conference, but just being able to get that first conference win is going to be huge for the Beavers. So the Beavers played again the next day as they faced Calvin College in a doubleheader matchup on Thursday, April 4th. In Game 1, Bluffton got dominated in every facet of the game as they lost 11-0 in 5 innings of action. The Knights tossed a no-hitter in Game 1 before limiting the Beavers to a pair of safeties in a 4-1 victory, which capped the sweep. The Beavers are now 5-17 overall, while host Calvin improved to 15-5.
Calvin brought out their best ball in Game 1 as they held Bluffton scoreless, but even more impressively hitless, en route to the 11-0 victory. Bluffton could not get anything going with the bats following an error that allowed leadoff hitter Kelsey Reeder to reach in the first. Calvin had 2 innings with 3 runs and an inning of 4 runs. Both teams committed 1 error in the opener.
Following the Calvin miscue, the only 2 Beavers to reach base were Caitlin Wardstedt and Tabitha Coder, who both drew walks. Katie McCord got the start for the Beavers, giving up 7 runs on 7 hits and 2.1 innings of work. Alexis Montemurano tossed the final 1.2 innings for the Beavers and gave up 4 runs on 7 hits.
Calvin got a run in the bottom of the first to take an early 1-0 lead over Bluffton. In the bottom of the fourth, they added another tally for a 2-0 lead. Throughout 4 innings of action of Game 2, the Beavers had still not recorded a hit on the day, making it 9 straight innings of hitless hurling for the Knights.
In the top of the fifth, Bluffton finally broke the ice. Annie McCreight stepped to the plate with 2 outs and helped her cause with a single to left field, scoring Megan Hill from third base and making the score 2-1.
Calvin added 2 security runs in the home half of the sixth to extend the Knights' lead to 4-1, which held for the final score. Taylor Stanky went 1-for-2, while McCrate finished 1-of-3 with an RBI. McCrate, 0-2, pitched all 6 innings for the Beavers, giving up 4 runs on 6 hits.
It was obviously not the best day for the Beavers, especially after how many hits they had in Manchester. It was like an offensive battle for them against Manchester, but obviously struggled to hit the ball, but they played a very good Calvin University, I believe, it's Calvin University, I believe. Obviously, not a good day, but good thing is, it's not conference, so that does not hurt their conference record, as, you know, in the end, the Beavers want to be able to make it to the conference tournament.
Yes.
So, they were back in action on Sunday, as the Bluffton University team had a non-conference doubleheader when it hosted Ohio Wesleyan. The Beavers got the best of Ohio Wesleyan in Game 1, 10-4, before dropping the finale by an 8-6 count. Bluffton moved to 6-18 on the year, while Ohio Wesleyan improved to 7-17 overall.
After a scoreless first inning, Ohio Wesleyan got the bats cracking as they scored 3 in the top of the second. The Beavers would have an answer in the home half of the frame. Riley Langstaff hit a double to right field that moved Casey Clark to third. Taylor Stanky reached on a fielder's choice, and Clark scurried home to put up the first run of the game for the Beavers. Freshman Molly Bollinger stepped to the plate and singled to center field, scoring Langstaff before Kelsey Reeder singled to center, scoring Stanky. The game was knotted at 3 after 2 innings.
In the bottom of the third, the Beavers did some more damage. With 2 outs in the inning, Clark stepped up to the plate and sliced a double to center field, scoring Megan Hill from second base after she reached on an error by Ohio Wesleyan.
The Beavers weren't satisfied with the 1-run lead. With 2 outs in the inning, Bluffton struck some more magic. Sydney Bowen singled to get Stanky home from third base after she doubled to left field. Kaylin Mordstadt singled through the left side, scoring Bowen. Later on in the inning, Hill drilled a triple down the right field line, scoring Mordstadt from second base. And to finish off the explosive frame, Clark spanked another double to score Hill, giving the Beavers a commanding 9-3 lead.
Ohio Wesleyan added 1 run in the top of the sixth to cut the deficit to 9-4, but Bluffton answered right back in the bottom half of the inning when Mordstadt hit a solo shot to left field, clearing the scoreboard and extending the lead to 10-4.
4 Beavers went 2-for-4, including Clark, Hill, Mordstadt, and Reeder. 7 different Beavers recorded an RBI and a run scored, as it was a total team effort in the victory. Bollinger got the start on the mound, pitching 6 innings and giving up four runs on eight hits for the victory. She upped her mark to 2-3 on the year. Katie McCord finished the game, tossing the final inning.
Ohio Wesleyan struck first in Game 2 with a solo home run in the top of the second inning. The Beavers struggled in the first two innings at the plate, but in the third they started to get the bats warmed up. After Stanky singled up the middle, Annie McCrate doubled to right center and scored to Stanky. Bowen poked a single to left center, scoring McCrate and giving the Beavers the lead. Courtney Jasinski hit a single and ended up scoring Bowen from first base after an error committed by the visitors. Morstat doubled home Jasinski, and to cap off the impressive inning, Hill singled to left field, scoring Morstat from second base. The Beavers now had a 5-1 lead.
Ohio Wesleyan added one into the scoring column in the top of the fourth, thanks to another solo shot. The Beavers responded in the bottom of the fifth as Hill stepped to the plate and clocked a double, scoring Jasinski, who started off the inning with a double, giving the Beavers a commanding 6-2 lead going into the top of the sixth.
The visitors knew they had to put the ball in play and start getting some hits to have a chance to come back, and in the top of the sixth, they did just that. They scored three runs to cut the deficit to 6-5. After the Beavers had a scoreless bottom of the sixth, the visitors would have one last chance to get a split.
Unfortunately for the Beavers, Ohio Wesleyan seized the moment and scored three more, all unearned, in the top of the seventh, taking advantage of two errors committed by Bluffton in the inning. The Beavers were unable to spark anything in the bottom half of the seventh as the visitors stole Game 2, 8-6.
McCrate was a perfect 3-for-3 with an RBI and a run. Jasinski, Morstat, and Hill all went 2-of-4 at the plate. McCrate got the start on the mound, pitching five innings while giving up five runs on seven hits. Alexis Montemurano finished the final two innings in the circle, giving up three unearned runs on three hits. Obviously, with the Beavers leading all in that second game, they definitely wanted to come out there with two wins. But to be able to come out with the split was huge after a disappointing game at Calvin University on Thursday. The Beavers will be back in action when they travel to the other purple team's house, Defiance College. The first game is set to start at 3 p.m. It's a short drive. Go out, support your Lady Beavers softball. I know they would appreciate it. Huge conference games, and I know they would like to get two wins when they travel over to Defiance.
Yeah, and the Beavers have really had their bats going pretty well since the weather here has warmed up a little bit. I know that game against Calvin, their bats weren't really going, but you're going to have days where you don't hit very well. But other than that, they have had their bats going, and that's one thing they need to keep up if they want to have a chance to get into the conference championship, the playoffs. Just one thing with their game against Ohio Wesleyan was their errors that hurt them, really their fielding, because their bats were working there. So they just need to clean that up a little bit, and as Pat said, they play on Wednesday, the 10th, at Defiance, so go support them if you have the chance. We're going to take another short little break. We've been talking a lot. And when we come back, we will talk about men's golf, women's golf, track and field, and then finish off with Special Olympics bowling that happened on Sunday. All right, so thank you for listening to the Beaver Dam on 96.1 The Wit.
You're listening to the Beaver Dam on 96.1 The Wit.
Welcome back to the Beaver Dam. I'm Trent Mast, joined along with Patrick Spillman. We're going to jump right in here to golf. Bluffton University men's golf team shaved 5 strokes off of its day one score when the Beavers capped off the Alice Lloyd Invitational on Sunday, March 31st. Did we already read this?
Yeah. The Beavers, the men's team did not compete this weekend, T.
I thought they did.
They did not compete. Right. Just the women. So the Bluffton University women's golf team shot a 397 on the final day of the Laura Bump Invitational at Ostrander, Ohio on Sunday, April 7, 2019. The 397 bettered the 402 on Saturday. That marked the best team score for a Bluffton women's golf team in the modern era. Abby Bullion and Keely Briggs flipped their top two positions from Saturday, shooting 94 and 99 respectively. Briley Overdorf also carded a 99, and Courtney Kretschmar checked in with a 105. Bojan led the Beavers with a 192 for the tournament. So, Trent thought that the men played. I thought that the men played, but they did not play. So, it was just the women this weekend. Obviously, breaking their record right now, their previous record of 402. So, they are now have a 397 as their new record. The women's team will be back in action on April 13th as they will compete at the Wooster Spring Invitational, Saturday, April 13th. Get a chance, go out, watch some golf. I have not had a chance to make it to one. Hopefully sometime we'll be able to. That will be a Saturday and Sunday meet. So, oh, and the men will also be there at Wooster College as well. So the men and women will be together. They will be at Wooster College, Saturday, April 13th, Sunday, April 13th. Go out, support your Beavers. I know they'd appreciate it. I know they're excited, and they'd appreciate you being there. Now on to track and field.
Bluffton University track and field teams travel to Ohio Wesleyan University to partake in the Marv Fry Invitational on Friday and Saturday, April 5th and 6th, and came home with several personal bests and conference qualifiers.
The men's team placed 6th overall in the field of 10 teams, while the women were 10th. The 4x100-meter relay, consisting of freshman Daniel Williams, junior Christian Parker, that's sophomore Christian Parker, freshman Dalton Tainer, and sophomore Omar Warlick, brought home first place with a time of 43.35 seconds, which is the second fastest time in the HCAC this season.
Freshman Brandon James was also the champion of in one of his events, 400-meter hurdles, with a time of 56.87 seconds. James also placed third in the triple jump with a leap of 41 feet 5 and a quarter inches, and fourth in the 100-meter hurdles with a time of 16.26 seconds.
Junior Justin Kaufman vaulted an outdoor best vault of 13 feet 0.75 inches, good enough for third place overall and his best mark of the outdoor campaign. Junior John Jones added points for the team in the hammer throw with the fifth place finished throw of 140 feet, just under his season best.
Moving back to the track, junior Connor Gullick continued his fantastic junior season with a personal best in the 1,500 meter on Saturday, as he ran a time of 4 minutes, 10.2 seconds, and placed fifth in the field of 38 runners. Junior Dakota Frost took 9th with a time of 4 minutes, 11.01 seconds.
The 4x400-meter team relay of James, Warlick, Golick, and Noah Judd also scored fifth place points in a time of 3 minutes, 29.98 seconds, their best time of the 2019, and slotting them into the top half of the HCAC in the event.
On the women's side, junior Tori Bowen continued her dominance in the pole vault, taking home first place with the best of 11 feet 9.75 inches and tying her season best.
Senior Malin DeLong added a third place finish in the hammer throw with a toss of 126 feet 8 inches, while sophomore Stephanie Fox added a pair of eighth place finishes in both the hammer and discus.
On the track, sophomore Bailey Barrington scored another personal best in the 800 meters with a time of 2 minutes 23.56 seconds, moving her to third best in the HCAC.
At 5,000 meters, senior Jenny Madison ran a time of 19 minutes 53.07 seconds, while junior Ari Cox went 20 minutes 16.57 seconds to finish 7th and 8th respectively.
Junior Alexis Cash added on 8th place finish in the 1,500 meter with a time of 5 minutes, 2.05 seconds, which is her season best. The top sprinter performance came from senior Katora Warlick as she tied for 8th place with a time of 27.47 seconds.
The Beavers will return to Ohio Wesleyan on Saturday, April 13th for an All-Ohio Division III Championship. Field events are set to start at 10 a.m. with the 10,000-meter races starting on the track. The remainder of the running events are scheduled to begin at 1:45 p.m. Obviously, another great meet for the Beavers. All continuing to get better. Saw a couple of first-place finishes for the 4x100-meter. Brandon James, Tori Bowen. A lot of people getting close to their best or beating their best. This team's just going to continue getting better as they prepare for conference and obviously All Ohio's next weekend, which is going to be a big meet. I know junior Tori Bowen is expecting to win that meet, be the best pole vaulter in Division III in Ohio. I think that would be pretty cool to see. So hopefully the best of luck to all of our track team next weekend.
We got one more thing to talk about. The Heartland Collegiate Athletic Conference and Special Olympics Indiana partnered to host the 5th annual Unified Sports Bowling Championship Sunday, April 7th at Woodland Bowl in Indianapolis. The occasion continued the conference's and NCAA Division III partnership with Special Olympics.
During the event, over 125 athletes from Special Olympics chapters in Indiana, Ohio, and Kentucky, and student athletes from the HCAC member institutions teamed up in an effort to bring home the 5th HCAC Unified Bowling Championship.
The Unified Bowling Championships is one of the most impactful programs sponsored by the HCAC, stated HCAC Commissioner Maureen Hardy. Yeah. This event provides the Special Olympians the opportunity to compete in the uniform of an HCAC institution alongside their HCAC student athlete teammates. This inclusive event brings two groups together that may not normally interact and allow them to bond over a common love of sports. Our student athletes learn to embrace the abilities of those with special needs and form new friendships. It truly is a rewarding experience for all involved.
Unified is a term that reflects athletes with intellectual disabilities and without intellectual disabilities competing together on a team. Each team had 4 total members, 2 with intellectual disabilities and 2 without intellectual disabilities, with each HC member institution sponsoring multiple teams at the event.
Teams finishing 1st, 2nd, or 3rd in their division received gold, silver, and bronze medals, respectively, while 4th through 10th place received ribbons.
The team with the highest score, including handicap, was awarded the Heartland Collegiate Athletic Conference Championship Trophy. Mount St. Joseph University claimed the school's 2nd Unified Bowling Championship title with a total pinfall of 5,486 during the event.
Bluffton University's Tyler Connors earned the HCAC Most Valuable Player Award for his efforts, finishing with the highest 3-game series bowling score without the handicap, the scratch card, of 576 total pins.
All conference awards were presented to the top 5 HCAC partners and the top 5 Special Olympic athletes with a total pinfall plus handicap. See below. The partnership between the HCAC and the Special Olympics aligns with the D3 strategic positioning platform as the student athlete becomes more involved in the local community.
Team standings were Mount St. Joseph in 1st, as it said, with 5,271. Behind them was Bluffton with 5,233. Then it was Transylvania, 5,133. And Rose Holman came in 4th with 4,958.
The Beavers did have 2 as all-conference as MVP Tyler Connors as well as Mark Harden, both all-HCAC for your Bluffton University Beavers. We'd like to congratulate all of those bowlers as I'm sure it was an amazing experience. I know some of the people that went and they said that it was an amazing time and that they love it and that they hope they can go again next year. So I always look forward to seeing what's going to happen with the Special Olympics bowling. So I'm happy. It was a cool event from what I've heard, and the Beavers got 2nd, obviously, next year. Hopefully they can pull out a win. That would be super, super cool. But I think, Trent, you got anything else?
I do not. That wraps up this episode of the Beaver Dam. We thank you for listening and encourage you to come back and listen to us on Friday, hopefully. If not, we'll be back on Monday at 6 o'clock. Check out previous podcasts. Search and subscribe on iTunes or Google Play, the WIT 96.1 podcast at Bluffton University. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at TheBeaverDam961. For more stories and information, check out our website, BlufftonWIT.com, and subscribe. This has been Trent Mast, joined along with Patrick Spillman, and we thank you for listening to 96.1 The WIT.
Roll Beavs.